Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed Saturday. This is Brother Nate, another God's Word to Man broadcast. And I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, who is my Lord and Savior, who has given us this opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with you, the listeners. I want to once again thank God for all of you that are listening to the broadcast and who have been faithfully listening to us this close to being 5 years on the airwaves. Thank God for you all. If you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson tonight, call us at 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. And if you don't like doing it over there, just contact us. The email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD, the number 2MAN at gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Glory be to God. Amen. And thank God for another blessed Saturday. For those of you that follow us on Blog Talk Radio, hey, you know that means heart to heart with Brother Lee and the Handmaidens. And I am here to be joining them. And as we await for my brother, Brother Eddie Lee, to head this thing off, I want to again thank the Lord for, in this last hour, he has commissioned me and as well as others to give the gospel, Jesus Christ, to let all know of his plan and his workings in these last days. Glory be to God, to notify all that our God is not asleep and he is not off wandering off somewhere. He is at work. And our God is bringing forth a people today that he's coming back for, presenting a church that will be without wrinkle, spot, or blemish. Our God has been releasing the extra oil that will cause all Christianity that accept the oil, who are willing to be of the wise virgins, will cause all in Christianity to flow together as one. Our God today is still at work. And even though it may seem like sometimes that he is absent, and it seems like sometimes that he's not near, but dear God is not a man that he shall lie. Glory to God. I am so grateful today to be serving the true and living God, that who is all powerful, and none could ever be more powerful than him. No one can hold a torch to him. No one can even come close. And I am grateful for the plan of God for my life person, and how in his word he said that the steps of a good man is ordered by God. Oh, when it seems like he's not there, he is there. And he says unto his people that he requires faith, because without it we cannot please him. But he said they that come to God must believe first of all that he is. Hallelujah. That he is whatever they need, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Dear Lord, help us today to be diligent seekers of you, to not just seek you in a time where we are, quote, in a need, but just seek you constantly, or to come before you and to fall on our knees from day to day and to worship our God. Help us to be diligent seekers, Lord God, to seek your voice till we hear from heaven. Help us to be diligent seekers in your word, Lord God, that we may get the revelation that comes through the Spirit of the living God. Help us today, Lord God, that we will be diligent seekers, that when we are in need of light, that we can receive it. And revelation, Lord God, that it will be revealed, that we may be in a place like they was in the upper room, awaiting for the manifestation of your Spirit. Oh, help us today, Lord God. Forgive us of our shortcomings, our disobedience and unbelief, our doubt, and the times that we have spoke against you, and when we didn't really take you serious like we should. And Lord God, when you had gave us a personal word, a word of instruction, that we failed at obeying it. Father, forgive us, Lord God, of bitterness and unforgiveness and anger that we've had towards one another. And dear God, and help us, Lord God, on our walk with you in the name of Jesus. And dear Lord, that we may walk in a way that is worthy and pleasing in the sight of God. And dear Lord, help us to exercise the authority in Christ Jesus that you have given us against the works of darkness. That, Lord God, to cry out and spare not, and to reveal the works of darkness. And dear Lord, today we pray for family members, and Lord God, that who have said and spoken and said that they don't want to hear about you. Dear Lord, that they are happy in their life of sin. Father, we ask that you would stretch forth your hand because you said your arm is not shortened. We ask, Lord God, that you would stretch forth your hand to those that are far off. And Lord God, that you would just shake them and get their attention. Lord God, that they may be awakened to the plan of God for their lives. And dear Lord, we are believing you today for the miracles that you have promised in your word, that you will release unto your people. For you are said, Lord, that miracles is the proof of your power. Dear Lord, we long to see the proof of your power. We long to see, dear God, the revelation of the working of your miracles, Lord God, that you have promised in your word. We long to see it, dear God. We ask, Lord God, that you will have mercy upon your people that are waiting upon you, upon the word that you have spoken. And remember, dear God, that you said you're not a man and you shall lie. And dear Lord, we are standing on the word of the Lord. Someone is in need today, God, of a healing miracle. Today, someone, dear God, needs to be touched in their back. And they've had back problems, dear God, but we know that you are the great physician. You are the great surgeon. And dear God, you can do surgery like no man can. And therefore, Lord, we ask that you heal the bones in that back. And Lord God, that you would heal every nerve. And Jesus, just bring forth a new nerve this day. Restore, Lord God, because you have told us that in these last days, there will be the restitution, the restoration of all things. And Lord God, we pray today for someone today, God, needs a miracle in their home and they need a miracle in their marriage. And dear God, we pray today that you will perform the miracle. Someone is believing you today, God, for a miracle for their children. Dear God, we ask that you would awaken their children today and all that they have brought before you. Dear God, at the request of each one of their child, then Lord God, that you would show them that you have heard their cry. And dear Lord, just stretch forth your hand. And Lord God, we ask that you would just touch the heart of those children today and begin to open the eyes and cause these blind scales to be destroyed. In Jesus' name, every blind scale that the enemy has put over their mind, Lord God, we plead the blood against it, that it may be destroyed and brought to ruin. Hallelujah to Jesus. Someone today, dear God, is in need of a healing miracle. Someone is in need of a financial miracle, Lord God. Someone has been crying out to you, Lord God. And Lord God, it seemed like that they're at the end of their rope. But Lord God, we know that you are the Jehovah Jireh. You are the provider. And dear God, we know that, Lord, you hear the cries of the saints. You hear the cry of faith that comes up before your ears. But dear Lord, we know today that, God, you are a problem solver. And therefore, that soul that's been crying out to you for a financial blessing and have stated that they're standing on your word and have been confessing and praying over your word, dear Lord, we ask today that you will manifest this answer right now, dear God. Show your mighty hand, Lord. Cause the enemy once again to cry like a baby and to run in the corner. Because, dear God, he cannot overpower you in Jesus' name. Glory to the living God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to the living God. You're worthy to be praised and to be glorified. In Jesus' name, we're so grateful. And I'm humbled to have this opportunity, as I've said before, in Jesus' name, to give the gospel of Jesus Christ. And my personal prayer to God for myself is the Lord help me to stand firm in you, that even as the devil turn up and ramp up the pressure, that, dear God, that I would not renounce you and not turn on you. Hallelujah. And dear Lord, I appreciate what you're doing and how you're working things out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your hand in my life. And, Lord God, you're setting me up to see your works. You're setting me up to see your miracles, Lord God. And you're setting me up to show me that you are a keeper of your word. You said in your word that it would not return to your void, but it will accomplish the thing that you have sent it to do. And dear Lord, we know that whatever you speak to, you send your word. We're grateful, Lord God, that you are faithful, you are just, and you true. Glory to God. None of the things belongs to the devil. But you are all that, Lord God. Holy, holy is your name. And so we join the angels in heaven and the ones that are circled around your throne and those that in heaven that is bowing down to worship you. We join them to praise you, Lord God, in this hour. We join them, Lord God, to say that you're almighty, Lord God. We join them today, Lord God, to admit that you're all powerful. Lord God, that no one is greater than you. We join them today, Lord God, to admit that you are the creators, and no one has the creator power like you do. Glory to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you for restoring limbs to bodies today, restoring hands and restoring arms today, God, and causing legs to grow and feet to grow. In the name of Jesus, removing tumors out of the stomach and out of the brain, Lord God. We're grateful today. We thank you, Lord, for your mighty works, Lord God. Hallelujah to God. Thank you, Jesus. You're restoring high blood pressure, Lord God. You're bringing blood pressure back to normal. You're causing clogged arteries to become unclogged. And Father, we're grateful that you're causing hearts to pump right like it should, Lord God, because it is you, Lord God, that tempered the body together. It was you, Lord God, that know every function of the body, from the top of our head to the very soles of our feet. For you are the great physician. And the word tells us, Lord God, that you heal all our diseases, Lord God. We are grateful today that, Lord God, that no disease is stronger than you. And no disease is not too hard for you to tackle. But, dear God, we know that all you have to do is speak. As the centurion told you, Jesus, when you was on this earth, he told you that you don't have to come under his roof, Lord God. But just speak the word. And dear Lord, today, Lord God, we ask that you speak the word, Lord God. The people is in need of you today, God, to speak your word. Speak your word in the house, Lord God. Speak your word in the jobs, Lord God. Speak your word today, Lord God. Show your hand once again in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah, 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 glory. Ihalabashita, glory. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God is worthy to be praised. I may have said this the other day on the broadcast, but I'm going to say it again. Beloved, praise him until you hit something. Glory. Hold up, Ashanta. You may say, well, how do I know when I hit it? You're going to know. Hallelujah, Boshata. Because your praise is going to be different. It's going to be filled with more power. But see, we have to start it off. Many of us is waiting for something, if the word of the Lord says something great, to awaken us and stir us. But I'm here to tell you today that if you would just start praising him and praise him till you hit something. Hallelujah. You know how the people back in the days of old when they was searching for gold and they started digging, they would dig and dig until boom, till they hit something. And God wants you to continue to praise him because you're going to hit something. You're going to hit something in the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory. And see, this is why the devil is trying to stop your praise. That's why when you start off with a hallelujah, he's working on trying to make you shut up because he knows that if you continue to praise God that you're going to hit something. Hallelujah. And you're going to hit something that he ain't going to be able to do nothing about. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Remember, people, I told you a couple weeks or so ago that God told me that we're in a faith fight. And he said that to fight the good fight of faith and endure hardness as a good soldier. And many times we have taken this fight lightly. We have read where the scripture says that, but we really didn't consider how serious that word was and how serious it is. And therefore, many times we think that God has left us. And I say we because I have to throw myself in there. There's many times that I spoke against the Lord. And hallelujah, in my complaints and murmurings and things that I said. But dear God, he is faithful. And he begins to, as the word said, teach your hands, your fingers, how to war, how to fight, come against the enemy. I know that the Lord whooped the devil and stripped him of his power, but you're dealing with an adversary that's not laying down. But remember, the weapons of your warfare are not carnal. Hallelujah. But mighty through God. The word is telling you that your weapon is greater than the weapon of the enemy. This is why he said no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Why is that? Because the weapon you have is greater. See, oh glory. Whenever the devil hits you and you hit him back with your weapon, you're wounding him. Don't think that you ain't wounding him. In fact, you are afflicting more on him than he is on you. You say, well, why is that? Because your weapon is mighty through God. See, the scripture, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, was not meant for the devil. It was meant for you, believer. See, that scripture can't apply to the devil because when you're using the weapon of God against him, it will prosper. You understand it? It will prosper because your weapon is mighty through God. See, if your weapon was fleshly, then you wouldn't stand a chance against the enemy. Hallelujah. See, too many times we're trying to fight wars with the enemy with our flesh, and we lose out every time. But when you fight them with the weapon that God gave you, and this is why he worked on so many believers to not find out what they've been given by God. Hallelujah. Because if he could keep you in ignorance, then you couldn't use what God has given. See, we ask God to give, but God has already given it. We just haven't used it. Lord Jesus, help me. That's my personal prayer, people, for myself. Lord, help me. And God many times take me back, and I testified about this before, to that night back in, I think, 2004, 2005, that night after many nights suffering with a sinus infection headache, getting nothing but 30 minutes of sleep probably a night, then had to go to work, not knowing what was going on, what was happening. I'm repenting. I'm trying to praise God. I didn't know what else to do. I was in so much pain. Glory to God. And in the midst of that pain, my God ministered to me. He began to bring things to me. It's amazing, glory. The things that you either associated with or know about or something, how that the great teacher knows how to bring a lesson out of those things. Glory to God. Thank God for the blessed word. I'm going to pass my brother on here. God bless you, brother. Gloria. Hallelujah.
God bless you.
God bless. God bless.
May the Lord be glorified. What were you all saying? Go ahead.
No, once again, just sharing the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ to the people. He said, praise him, brother, till you hit something. Glory to God.
Yeah.
Praise him till you hit, and you're going to hit. That ain't no problem. You're going to hit.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We acknowledge you, Jesus, the Lamb of God risen. We acknowledge the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Comforter, the Father of the Son of the living God, and the everlasting gospels, and the saints all over in every place. And we thank you for the privilege in Jesus' name to be a part of the ongoing kingdom of God. We praise you for the privilege. Amen. Okay, you were sharing with anybody online with you?
No, just me so far.
Oh, okay then. Well, we'll just carry on. Carry on. Jesus went up the hill by himself, you know. He started out with 5,000 and 4,000 feet in miracles and went up the hill by himself. Where's the help at? Okay. Amen. Then when he went into the earth, and he went in by himself, and he came out of the earth, but he brought somebody else with him. When he got up, he wasn't alone. Huh?
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. He carried the cross basically by himself. He took the torture and the rejection basically by himself. He was accused falsely, judged by Israel and Pilate, basically for himself and his works. But he was suffering for us. He was taking the punishment for us, taking the rejection for us. And he took the last mile. He walked the last mile. He had a little help from a African man who came and helped him bear the cross. And then when he, on the tree to set us free, he was lifted up. And he was basically between two people, but he did it all by himself. The Father was in him. And when he went to the earth, he defeated Satan, sin, death, hell, and the grave by himself and redeemed us from the curse of the law and the curse of Adam, the fall of Adam, by himself. I don't think, he wasn't there helping. Confucius wasn't there helping. Tao wasn't there. None of the other false gods, they wasn't there to help, were they?
Oh, no, they wasn't. They was missing in action, brother.
You mean they were AWOL? My goodness.
Went AWOL.
All the false gods of the earth, My God, where you at? What's his name? Allah, Muhammad, Buddha, and he wasn't there. Mr. Buddha wasn't there.
Oh, Mr. Buddha wouldn't even move, brother. He stayed in one spot. One spot.
What about this? What about the 680 more gods of the Hindus? They wouldn't help it out?
All of them.
Confucian. Oh. Baal, Peel, Balaam, all of those. My God. Beelzebub, all of them. They had to. My Jesus said, where you guys at? I'm coming through. I'm coming out. I'm coming up. I'm coming up and I'm coming through. I'm bringing the brothers out of here. Daniel, you ready to go? Hosea, you ready to go? Isaiah, John the Baptist, Moses, y'all ready to go? And all the people you preach to, are you ready to get out of here? And said, the King of Glory is about to make his exit. And the King of Glory got out. And there was a shout. That was a shout. When they came out, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Job had been waiting all this time, and there was a shout of victory. Because he's risen from the dead. Dead is, death is conquered. Grave is conquered. Satan is conquered. All them fellas was conquered, brother. They was conquered and defeated. And we celebrate that today. We celebrate that. All right, we're going to share a few things. If you were sharing about the shout of praise, the shout of praise and victory that the believer has in his mouth and his stomach, the shout of praise and magnifying, you know, the devils and demons, they don't like the shout of praise coming from the saints. They take their coat and leave. They take their coat and leave. Amen. All right. We shout the shout of victory, hallelujah, to the Most High God. When all the saints that Jesus rose with Jesus and all the redeemed got up out of the grave, and there was a big shout and big a Holy Ghost rally. They are risen. They have been waiting for Jesus, and they are now alive in the New Jerusalem in paradise. So today, we're going to have a little Bible study, scripture study, about the most important subject in the Bible. Now, I call this the most important subject and truth in the whole Bible. Now, the Bible is our tailgate of understanding of the plan of God for mankind. And the Bible is the scripture book, love letter, instruction, direction, plan given through Israel to mankind, revealed to his chosen people to give to the earth and to show the earth. And the Bible, scripture we call the law of the prophets and Psalms and the gospel and epistles, is about giving the answer for mankind. Now, the subject, the most important subject I see in the whole Bible is talking about pointing to, directing to two basic things, the atonement and the redemption of mankind. Now, if you can show me any important purpose of the Bible, then the atonement and the redemption of man, if you can show me any other thing that the Bible is basically pointing to from the beginning to the end, is pointing to Alpha Omega, beginning in, is about the atonement, redemption, and resurrection of our Lord. Now, those three things, terms, are called good news. When you talk about what the Bible good news is about, what the glad tidings is about, it's about the atonement made by the Lamb of God and the redemption of man. How was man going to be redeemed from his fallen state, sinful state that Adam got in? How was the man going to get back? How is he going to recover? How is he going to be redeemed? And the word terms, that the most important terms in the whole Bible, is called atonement, redemption, resurrection. Now, if you read the whole Bible through, And you missed the whole point of Scripture and the prophets and Revelation. The whole point is man is fallen and lost forever through Adam. And who is going to go down and redeem and atone for the sins of man? That's what the Bible is about. Hallelujah. Who's going to bring me back in line with the Father? Who's going to do it? And so the most important subject in the Bible and Revelation, this is what I see, the atonement paid by the Christ, redemption sacrifice made by the Lamb of God. Nothing in the Bible more important. Nothing in the Bible. Now, the Bible, the book that we call the Bible, the word given to mankind by the living God, it's in, let me see, as I was coming today, I wrote this down when I came in for this. I said, I'm going to write this down. And I wrote it down. I wrote about four or five to begin to write. The Bible is a revelation of God, who he is, and it's who he is, how he created man, made man, how to fall of man, and it's a revelation of how he's going to redeem man. The Bible is a book of instruction, divine instruction, and also it's a divine direction of the plan and purpose given to mankind through Israel for the redemption of the whole world. The atonement with the sacrifice. It's about three things. The atonement and the redemption of mankind. Now, if anybody can show me any more important point of the Bible than the atonement and redemption and recovery of man, I'd like to give him $600,000. But there is no other subject that the Bible comes with to the atonement and redemption of mankind. If you take the atonement redemption out of the Bible, you have nothing. Because there is no hope. There is no life, no reconciliation without the atonement of Christ and redemption or recovery of man. So the important part of the Bible is called the gospel. The term gospel is the only basic good news that the whole scripture is about. The gospel of Christ. The gospel of Jesus. That's the glad tidings. That's the joy. That's what they said. The Bible use the term gospel, atonement, which means good news, glad tidings. Now, if I were to tell people that why they're studying the Bible, Word of God, and what's the whole point of the Bible, of the scriptures, they would say, well, you know, to tell us about this. I said, do you not know that the Bible, in the Bible, the abridged version that we have, that all the things in the Bible were not spoken by God, and all the things in the Bible are not the Word of God directly, and that the Bible contains a history of mankind and nations, and also of the living God dealing with Israel and bringing the plan of redemption. So everything in the Bible is not God's Word per se; it's the history, it's man saying, it's Satan talking, nations talking. So all of the book is not directly God's word, but it's a history of God's dealing and work. We also have a lot of words in the Bible are from man, some of them from the devil, some from pagan, some from just the historical view. So the part of the Bible that's most important, it is the purpose of that book and what it's pointing to from Genesis 3:15. When Adam fell in sin and man is cut off spiritually and he's going to die physically and spiritually, he's cut off from the presence of God forever. And there is no way he get back because when he sinned, he brought spiritual death and physical death, and he's cut off from the living God forever. Now, when Adam sinned, that all the people that come out of him are under the curse of sin and death. Who's going to bring them back? Now, so the Bible starts off with Genesis 3:15, talks about a redeemer. And the whole subject, no matter what you go in the Bible, is getting to one point, who is going to redeem mankind and the nations. And he uses a certain people in the earth called Israel, Abraham's seed, who which he will come, a redeemer will come down and come through his bloodline. that he's going to come through Abraham. That's why it's called of Israel. He's going to use Israel, his chosen people, to bring salvation to living on earth. So now, from 3:15 of Genesis, it's pointing to the most important point of the scripture. Who is going to redeem? Who's going to make the atonement? Who's going to bring man back into the presence and relationship with the Lord? Who's going to do it? So it's all about that wonderful revelation of truth called the atonement and the redemption of mankind. The whole Bible points that, and I keep telling you that if you could take the atonement of Christ and the redemption and the resurrection, the other Bible is no consequences. It's no really value unless you got those three things in it. So let's see. The whole purpose of the Bible is to point to the fallen state of man, the redemption, and who's going to make the sacrifice for sin, the atonement. The whole thing, talk about three things, redemption, atonement, reconciliation. The fall of man, and who's going to bring man back to the Father? Who's going to bring man back into the presence of the Father? Redemption, the word atonement, I wrote these down, and without looking, I just wrote this stuff down. These terms used in the scripture, calling the Bible terms, and what it means, good news. The Bible is about a subject called good news and glad tidings. Is everything in the Bible good news and glad tidings? Of course not. Of course not. The Bible consists of many things, but a lot of it ain't good news and ain't glad tidings. But then we're going to get to the good news of the Bible. The point, the purpose of the scripture is about the good news, the glad tidings. They call it another term in the Old New Testament. They call it the gospel. Translated out of the Greek, they call it the gospel of Christ. And that's the part called good news and glad tidings. Glad tidings. Why did Jesus in the 20th chapter of Matthew, when he wrote from there, he said, you disciples, go in all the earth, every nation, and preach and teach what I told you to teach. It's called the good news. The good news, the glad tidings. Now, the whole primary purpose, keep getting back, the Bible from the beginning to the end is about the good news, glad tidings. Now, what is this, the purpose of the Bible, the really primary purpose of the scriptures? Like I said, everything in the Bible, God did not speak it. Everything in the Bible is not God's direct word or revelation. The Bible consists of many things, but the only part of the Bible that's wondered, well, I'll say the part, the most important, when you find in the Bible says, Jesus said, and I think Matthew should be, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, everything in the Bible, in the scripture, did not come out of the mouth of God. And this is what people don't understand. Everything that in the Bible does not come directly out of the mouth of God. Now, some of the Bible consists with inspiration, prophetic things, history, man's, devil, demons, and nations, history of things. But the most important, like we said, the atonement, the redemption, and direct revelation. When the Lord says to the prophet, the word of the Lord came unto me, or thus said the Lord, that's the direct direction and revelation. When you hear that, the prophet said, thus said the Lord. Now, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, all scripture. But everything in the Bible is not called scripture. No, see, this is the thing about when people said all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, but all things in the Bible are not given by inspiration of God. And all things in the Bible are not direct revelation of God. But we're going to get to the direct purpose and revelation of God when he said, I will send a redeemer in Revelation. I will send a redeemer. Now, the atonement. Now, when they translate the word into the English, from under the Greek or the Aramaic and Greek, when they turn it to the Greek, it says atonement. Now, if we divide that word, A-T, it's divided in three sides, at one at one. How are we going to make man at one meant again? The word atonement. And how are we going to bring man back in union with the living God, to the presence, to the holiness of God? The atonement is at A-T, at one, at oneness, at unity with God. Now, redeem, the word redeem means to, okay, who's going to pay the price? Who's going to give the life? Brother tells us, who's going to pay the price? Who's going to give the life? We got it.
Amen.
All right. Where's our sister? They all, this is their Saturday time with their families, I guess. They're all hooked up, eating and cooling out and taking care of their families and things. Is this where they're at now, brother?
Well, I give them about a minute since you made the call right there, brother.
Oh, a minute, but they're just trying to get away, brother. We're going to have to get some Rebeccas and Marys and Elizabeth here. So where are you, Rebecca and Sarah and Elizabeth and Mary and Deborah's Priscilla's and Phoebe's? Let them arise. Let them arise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let the handmaidens, this is the handmaidens tonight, let the handmaidens of God arise. Everywhere you are, we're talking to the handmaidens of God, and we're on this talk radio for special recognition of the women of God and the role they play in the earth and raising up the nations of the earth and also being a part of the body of Christ. Now, the word redemption and atonement is the very purpose of Scripture. And the good news, as we read, we're going to read this again, Brother Lloyd, chapter Luke. The whole Bible, the word gospel means good news. Let's go to Luke chapter 2, okay? And then by the time the sisters be here.
Let's welcome one of our sisters on. God bless you, Sister Anderson.
I know Sister Anderson's going to be the first one. That's no doubt about that. She was hiding a little bit, but she's going to come out first. I know she's going to come out swinging. Okay.
Yes,
ma'am. No, this is handmade night, this sister. What did Nate, did you think they forgot or something?
No, sir.
Oh, no, they didn't forget, bro.
Oh, okay. The Christians, they're not confused of it. They're not confused like the world. The world is in deep confusion about gender. They'll come up with three or four other genders that God didn't create. I know the Christian mm-hmm. world ain't confused, are they? Are they? Somebody tell me now.
Not confused, no, sir. Some might be. I'm not.
Well, that's good news. Bernadette, we can clap our hands. That's good news.
Amen.
Because the world, the devil has brought the spirit of confusion and deception, and we got people now, 5-year-old children saying, I want to change my gender. I want to have an operation change from a boy to girl. At 5 and 6 years old, they have a right now. A child said, I'm in the wrong body. I'm a male body. I know my organs and everything biological say I'm male, but I want to change and be a woman, or female. So I don't know if that's transgender, transition. I don't know about that. Can you explain that to me, Brother Nate? Can you explain that to me?
Confusion. That's what that is. Big confusion.
Sister Anderson, you want to explain that to me?
It's confusion, the work of the devil, and it's the world. It starts in the household. Because when a child come and tell you that I feel like I'm a boy, but I feel like I want to be a girl, and in that household, and you are the parent, so it's... mankind, it's the world, and it's the devil, because the parents need to grab that child right then and there.
Okay. Brother Nate, why are they always trying to pick on the devil? why just pick it on him?
Because
so,
he picking on people.
Keep picking on him like he's just playing.
Because he picking on people. We got to get him back. He picking on Pete.
Now, I this is my intake. I agree with Sister Anna, you're saying you're right. I have another part that I have an intake with. I think, and not only what you're saying is true, but there's another part I like to bring out, is that when the time that they reach this world or have been born, they have been broadcasted in here and taught and told from the time they listen to TV, the read and hear people saying, they're listening to all of this deception.
Yes. Yes.
Time they can read 4 or 5, they're reading all this lies and deception. And they sit before the TV, they sit at the TV till they're 1 year old, and they can see and hear, and they hear all these lying, deceiving spirits.
Amen.
And when they get 2 years old, they can turn to any station they want. And when they get 2 and a half, they can get a phone, they can use it better than I can do it, and they can tap into anything.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they can.
Amen.
Anybody
yes,
talking
can.
To me out there?
Amen. And when they're 3, they're on the computer. Mm-hmm.
3, they can use the computer better than me, Brother Nate.
Yeah, sure better than me. Yep, sure enough. I know that's a fact.
And because they a lot of times don't have restrictions, they can tap into anything from their phone, from their computer, any devilish thing, any demon thing, any perverse thing, any unrighteous thing, they can tell you about it.
Amen.
Yes.
Anybody
Amen.
Out there?
Amen.
So let's go confused. Let's get out of confusion and get into the truth and the light of God and the revelation of Jesus Christ, distinguish between darkness and light. In everything, there is a opposite. God created the world with an opposite. In everything, there's an opposite. That's why in everything, there's a positive and a negative. There's light and darkness, up and down. Whatever you, there is a opposite. There's a devil and there is a living God. There is death, there's life. Yeah, I mean, just there's an opposite in everything. In the tree, in the garden, there was a tree of life, and there's a tree of knowledge of good and evil. There's an opposite in everything. Why? Because the Lord wants us to make a choice. When he created mankind, ultimately, he wanted man to have the right to decide. And made a decision. That's why 2 trees were in there. He wanted them to make a decision between good and evil. Between good and evil. And we still have this tree that's planted in the world. You can make a decision between good and evil, between righteous and unrighteous, between God and the devil. Decision.
Amen.
The tree of the knowledge of evil. People eating off that tree every day. They're eating off that tree of knowledge of evil and good every day. Now, shortly, I'm going to take these, talk about the most important subject in the Bible, called redemption and atonement, because this is the part of the Bible that refers to the good news. Then we don't get to good news. We heard it talked about in the Old Testament, but it's not revealed till we get to the Old New Testament. Old New Testament is when Jesus comes. That's when a new beginning, New Testament, when he died and rose. That's called the New Covenant. And so we don't get to that good news being manifested until the Redeemer, promised Redeemer and Savior comes into the world. Now, as we read the second chapter of Luke, beginning at verse 4, beginning at 3 and 4, we're going to find out what is this part of the Bible that's called the good news, the glad tidings, which is another term for atonement and redemption, and the ultimate declaration of this called the gospel. If you read the Bible and never get to the part about the atonement, redemption, or the gospel, you might as well lay the book down. Because you ain't going to have no hope, no life, no redemption, no resurrection, no getting back with God. So the most important part of the Bible is to tell about the redemption, the atonement, the reconciliation of man. People often miss a book or a story when they miss the key point. The key point is about the good news, the wonderful news. Now let's go read about the wonderful good news, the glad tidings called the gospel. The gospel bill. What? Luke chapter 2. Somebody read 3 and 4, please.
Luke chapter 2.
Chapter 2 and verse 3 and 4.
Mm-hmm. Luke chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. And all went to be taxed, every one in his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with a child. And also it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people.
Now, as we look at that, what do you think the point of the Lord God, the Creator, speaking to mankind after the fall? We grasp the point, the major point.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you don't get the real major point of the Bible and purpose of it, you think of it as just a book God just talking. But what is the point of talking and revealing from the beginning to the end? Him speaking, revealing, and giving instruction. What's the point of it? What is the ultimate point of it?
The ultimate point is to let the people know that this good news and this glad tidings and great joy is for everybody, if you confess your sins. You got to realize
it's about the atonement. It's about the atonement of Christ. It's about the redemption. That's what everything leads to and connect with. It's about who is going to redeem. Who is going to provide the redemption? And as you go through the Bible and going from the beginning, from the fall of man and sin, darkness, from the law, the prophets. What's the purpose of the law and prophets? What's the reason they exist? It's pointing ultimate to a solution for all of mankind. It's not just for Israel. Israel was used to bring it and reveal it to Israel, which showed raised to be effective, to bring it, be the tool to bring it. But the ultimate tool about the word atonement, which is a redemption, is about a sacrifice, a lamb sacrifice. Do we understand? Do you understand when Lord destroyed the first part of the world in Noah's day when he said in Genesis 6, it grieves me that I got to destroy him. It grieves me. It soured God to his heart that he destroyed those people. God never delights in destroying, never destroy. He don't delight in destroying people or nation. He gets no satisfaction, no joy out of his heart. Now, the devil delights in it. The devil delights in destroying, afflicting, and killing. Oh, he delights in it. But even in the days of Noah, when he says, I'm going to destroy mankind because all flesh and sin is coming from him. Now, do you notice? The Lord said, it grieved me, it repented me that I made man, because now I got to destroy.
Mm-hmm.
My iniquity, my judgment has been provoked. I've been provoked to the point I have to destroy. This is called the point of iniquity abounding. And so I have to destroy. Now, when the animals came into the ark, it was two by two, right?
That's right.
But did you not know there were certain animals were put in ark by seven? Somebody talk to me.
Amen.
Amen. Unclean one.
Why did he take clean animals by seven and unclean was two by two? Why did he want so many clean? What was the purpose of these seven clean animals be brought in, kind brought in? What do we think the purpose of that? Somebody help me out now, Bible students. Come on, children. You don't have an idea or thought or something?
Well,
come on. Be a thought. You're in Bible study. You're in Bible class. You can, you know, talk, speak, and you don't have to be right about everything. You can just hit at it, hint of it, or you could be.
Well,
Sister
I
Helen?
Know that the...
Go ahead.
Well,
Go ahead.
I thought about the number seven being perfection and completion and how that he had put the seven in there to showing up his the work that he was going to complete in the redemption of man.
Okay. Yeah, you see, you could hit the nail in the head. Yeah, he's hitting very close to something important. Yeah. Go ahead, brother. You too. Sister
Helen?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Well, maybe he had the seven clean, you know, that after the flood was over and they released, you know, because he was going to use them to continue to multiply.
Okay. All right. Sister Anderson?
Well, I agree with Brother Nathaniel because of the number seven. And the number seven is God's number. So, therefore, he was using...
God's number for what?
It's a parable.
I didn't hear God's number for what?
His perfect number. It's number seven.
Okay, no, you didn't say that, but that's why I asked you. You didn't say that.
Okay, and it's also, it's a symbol, clean and unclean, and everything has a negative and a positive. And even in getting the animals into the ark, the negative and the positive was used, clean and unclean.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that's all those are. Well, good, Jonathan. So you want to say something, Brother Nate? I didn't get to let you finish. Go ahead.
No, that's basically what in thinking about when you
okay.
asked the question. Yeah, that's basically what
okay.
I what
okay.
Doing.
Okay. Yeah, that you know that's a good what you both all three said that added to that. Okay, let me say I have a thought about it. I didn't necessarily search it out. I haven't searched this out scripturally, but I come to thought in thinking about it. Yeah, everything basically is about good and redemption. Now, this is my partake on this. He wanted more animals, because one of the reasons I see it is that he needed more animals that's going to be sacrificed in the Old Testament, because the real Lamb of God had not come. They needed a lot of animals to be sacrificed daily and often, didn't it? Clean.
Exactly. Yeah.
And when you go through the Old Testament, all you see is blood. They sacrifice. All everything they do, go get the lamb, go get the goat, go get this animal and lay him on the altar to cover their sins, to cover their iniquity, so God won't destroy them. They had to do a lot of blood. It was so much blood, brother. Blood was all over the place. Every time you go to the altar, the priest is offering those sacrifices. The person bringing a sacrifice for his sin, the priest offering sacrifice, so many thousands of animals. Wow, and they offer up to God, right? Clean animals, right? So the Lord knew he was going to need a lot of animals, didn't he?
Right.
Exactly.
Amen.
Yeah.
For a sin sacrifice. Then the other purpose is he wanted every clean animal also for your eating, because there are unclean animals that we're eating that are not supposed to be eaten.
Amen.
Right.
Huh?
That's right.
Amen.
Why do you think he called them clean and unclean, unfit? I mean, you know, I mean, unfit for human consumption. But these clean animals will be used in, you know how many animals that when Solomon built this temple for the living God, he built this house and this temple. Do you know how many animals they sacrificed when that temple was consecrated? You know how many? It said thousands. Can you imagine? Can you imagine killing thousands of animals and that blood flowing everywhere?
Hmm.
Not a pretty sight, brother.
Not only a pretty sight, but think about what you smell. I mean, who wants that job? Blood, blood, blood everywhere. Blood, blood. Kill a thousand animals. Kill the offer. Woo! I'm kind of glad I'm living on the other side. I'm kind of glad I'm on the other side. Because brother, to be a priest, and my God, you got these garments, you got to kill all these animals. Woo, my goodness, what a job. What a job.
Amen.
What a job. Now, as we go to talk about the atonement and the redemption of man, the whole purpose of the Bible and God speaking to man from beginning to end, when Jesus said, I'm the Alpha and Omega, most people, they hear that, I'm the first and the last. But there's another part to it that they've not seen. They see a part of it, but there's another part they may not be gleaming. As we read the scriptures, we notice that we can read a scripture, and we said, after reading it for years, I see something I never saw before. Have you ever come to that? So that you read a scripture and you got some truth from it, but then you got a truth that you never saw before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
You just, because you don't get it all. Sometimes you get a little bit, and God give you a little bit, and you think you got. You know, have you noticed some people in the scriptures, and they think they know it all, and they got it all?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they read something, and they got some truth out of it. They may have got some truth out of it. Some light out of it. They think they got all of it. And you can't tell them nothing. They so full of pride. See, with revelation, when you get a revelation truth from God, you have to be careful about the pride that will come up. Because you think you know it all. You think you got all the knowledge out of that. I know, child, you can't tell me no more about it. I know it all. Well, okay. Pride has a way of jumping on that shoulder, don't it?
Yeah.
Amen.
Okay. Now let's see the good tidings, the glad tidings. The Bible talks about this truth of redemption as good tidings and glad tidings to all people. It wasn't just for Israel and Jews. It wasn't for the rich and the poor and certain races in the Bible, it is for all people. That's what it said. That's what the angel said. But unto all people.
Amen. That's correct.
All people.
All people.
So do you think that the Lord God of Israel, he loved his special people, his chosen people, Israel, the Jews, but do you think that he loved the Palestinians and the Arabs too?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Well, you would think that he only loved the Jews and Israel.
They missed that, brother.
Oh, you think they kind of missed that, brother? Okay. No, all right.
By a long shot, brother.
Okay. I just left the rest of the people out. Oh, the Jews. Oh, the Jews. Don't mess with the Jews. Don't do that. They're God's show. I said, yeah, that's true. But let's not leave out the revelation of the gospel. It's not the Lord just loving Jews alone, but it goes beyond that. He loves all people, even the Palestinians and the Arabs that everybody's against. Mm-hmm. Amen. Anybody agree or disagree? Mm-hmm. Tell me. Mm-hmm. Huh?
I agree 100%, bro. I'm with you on that one.
All right. Redemption. Now, let me share something, which I won't be able to complete it. I have to do it the next 2 weekend about redemption and atonement being the most important subject in Revelation in the Bible.
Okay.
And that those three terms, you need to look up atonement, redemption, and reconciliation. Now, these terms are used in Ephesians and in Hebrew a lot. Paul explained this in Ephesians chapter 1, 2, and 3 about the term redemption, remission of sins, reconciliation to God, because they are the most important revelation of truth in the whole Bible. So, notice that what the atonement was made, the sacrifice called the sacrificial lamb. The Bible talks about a lamb, because in the Old Testament they used lambs to cover the sins. The priest had to offer up the lamb without spot. Why was it the lamb? Because the lamb was going to be the way to redeem man. And so they had to use a lamb in the Old Testament. When they passed out of Egypt, they had to put the blood of a lamb if they were too over dope. If they were too poor, they had to use another little animal if they were too poor to have a lamb. But the lamb was sacrificed once a year to cover Israel's sin for a whole year.
Amen.
Now,
mm-hmm.
Now the Lamb of God, which is Jesus, the Redeemer, all those things in the Old Testament are typical, atypical, or types and shadows, pointing up the real deal. Now, the real deal came when Jesus called, when John the Baptist said in John 1:29, what did he say? Well, John 1:29 said what? Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. He announced to Israel. So they will know the time had come. John chapter 1, verse 29, when Jesus came to be baptized, he announced him. He gave him the ID. He identified him. He said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Talking about the sin curse of Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the good news that they were looking for. Mm-hmm. He came walking and they couldn't receive it. The world is not receiving this Lamb of God today. They push him away anyway. You see, the majority of the world is rejecting this Lamb of God just like Israel did. Do you see that?
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
They're pushing Jesus out of the door. They don't want to hear. They're taking him off the radio. When you talk too much about Jesus and salvation, they'll restrict you on Facebook. They're restricting me. They'll, after a while, they're going to cut you off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen.
So let's not be scared, and let's blow the trumpet in Zion. Let's not do all that we can do. If you're going to do anything, you better blow the trumpet now.
Mm-hmm.
I said, did you
Amen.
Get it?
Amen.
Now, if you're scared that somebody's going to get offended and curse you out, and you're kind of scared because you don't want to hurt nobody's feelings, you better go back and say, Lord, save me over again.
Amen.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
I said, if you're scared, Jesus said, you'd be ashamed of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I confess you before my Father. He said, if you refuse to confess me before the world, he said, I'm going to have to be ashamed of you in that day. So if you're scared to confess him, to proclaim him now, and be silent. They say, well, I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. I just don't want to get into that stuff. Okay, Brother Nate. You know, we got a lot of good people say, well, you know, I don't want to discuss religion. I said, darling, I didn't come to discuss religion.
Amen.
I come to present you to the Redeemer.
Amen.
The one made atonement.
Amen.
I didn't come to present you religion. I present you to a person called the Redeemer. I didn't come to lead you to a religion and not so much to a church, even though a church is a part of the equation, but I come to introduce you to the Redeemer. He has come, the Emmanuel.
Yes.
Now, oh, yeah, I don't discuss, I don't get into religious stuff, because Jesus is not about religion. He's about the opposite, relationship. Say relationship.
Relationship.
And fellowship.
Fellowship. Amen.
He bring you in union with the Father. Bring you in union to the family of the Father. Now, I want to at least get this straight here, because the purpose of the Bible and the law and the prophet. If a law, if any prophet or any revelation in the Bible that's not about the redemption and atonement, you can just forget about it. It ain't going nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Because if that law and the prophets is not pointing towards the ultimate plan of God, which is the atonement and redemption, you can forget about it. I'm going to show you. I want you to know why the law and the prophets, what they spoke. If it's not about this, let's go to Isaiah 8 and 20, 8 and 20. Isaiah chapter 8 and 20. Isaiah 8 and 20. Then we have to let you all pray. Isaiah 8 and 20.
All right. Isaiah chapter 8,
somebody
verse
read
20.
Uh-huh.
The word of God said, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them.
Now, how are you going to divide and separate, especially in the last day? Because if the law, the purpose of the law and the prophets in the Bible, it was not prophesying or speaking to the ultimate arrangement of God about redemption or salvation, the Messiah, then you would know it's false. If a spirit of the prophets and religions speaking today, if they're not pointing that Jesus Christ is the Redeemer and the risen Lord and Savior, you might as well close the book.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't nobody talking.
Amen.
It doesn't make any difference because they read the Bible and they say, I'm reading the word. Do you know what that is? If you read the written word, it must lead you to what? To the living word.
Yeah.
Amen.
If that does not lead you to the word made flesh and dwell among us, then you forget about that written word because it ain't going nowhere. See, mm-hmm. You got to know the purpose when you said word. Jesus was the living revealed word in the flesh. See, the written word of the Lord and the prophet was to point you or enlighten you to the living word. Do you get that?
Amen.
Amen.
So if it doesn't lead that way, confess Jesus as the Christ, you know it's false. It's error. It's error. See, the law and the prophet, they testify what? That testimony from the beginning of the world, from Abel all down to Malachi.
Uh-huh.
To John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the last prophetic in the second coming to testify. Behold what? Behold the what?
Lamb of God.
That do what?
Take away the sins of the world.
There you go. That's the atonement. That's the redemption part. That's the good news. You think Israel would have been happy with that? Were they overjoyed and happy about that?
No.
Well, then, when we declare it among nations now, a lot of nations are looking for it, but then there's people right in America who've been had it. They don't even want it.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, listen. If anyone comes to you, come, I know the Bible. Do you know the one that the Bible was pointing to? See, just knowing what the Bible say and without knowing its purpose is very little nothing. I know the Bible. I want to know, do you know the Redeemer? Because the whole Bible is about the redemption and the atonement. See, you can, I can come to you and say, Jesus had nappy hair, he looked like a black man, or the prophet Moses, he was a black man across the Red Sea, and he was black and all that old kind of stuff. You missed the whole point, brother.
Amen.
You hear these people want to discuss and debate. Don't waste your time debating nonsense and foolishness. Do not let people tie you up with a lot of historical debating things that don't lead to the man called Jesus Christ the Redeemer. Don't waste your time trying to explain to him, well, you know, this and this and this. I don't even waste my time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you will waste your time, I ain't waste my time no more with no nonsense like that, because that's not your purpose.
Amen.
When I testify about the messenger coming and giving the scripture and the history of my life, I'm not going to argue with them. Get in until you debate and contend with them. Lay it at their feet and let them decide.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you want to sit there and they talk what they ain't, I'll say, well, I tell them, you have a choice. You have a decision to make. I'm through. I'll pray for you. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
See, a lot of time we let people get us into debates and arguments. Now, you can share the gospel, you can discuss the gospel, and you can discuss the truth. But you people debate and argue and fight and get in bad feelings, that's not what he called you to do.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
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 And I don't waste my time with things that Jesus said don't waste. Don't cast your pearls to swines and that hold it to dogs. You know what that means?
Mm-hmm.
They don't want
Hello?
To hear. They
Amen.
Don't want to hear. Don't force it on.
Man.
Amen. Go for them in peace. I said, go for them and keep your peace.
Amen.
I said, go for them and keep your peace and your faith.
Mm-hmm.
Go from them. Let them go their own way.
Yes.
Amen. Thank
Amen.
You, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Every time people ask me that know me for 25 years, oh, you still believe John coming? I said, yep.
Yeah. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That's the end of it. I still hold fast my faith and my salvation in God. That's it. Amen. I'm not trying to make you try to believe. I'm not trying to make you believe. That ain't my job. If my job to make you believe, then Jesus, why don't Jesus make you believe?
Nope, not the job.
Hallelujah. All right. I'm going to share the atonement and why the messengers talks about restoring the everlasting gospel. The angel that come today, he talks about restoring the everlasting gospel. You know why he said restore the everlasting gospel? It's the most important thing. Do you know the everlasting gospel is more important than the priesthood that they arguing about?
Amen.
Yes, it is.
And you don't see them arguing about the redemption and atonement. They were, you know, people want to argue about, well, we got the only priesthood. We got the only priesthood. That's what they did in Jesus' day. But why are they talking about the thing that can redeem a whole nation in the world? The atonement, the redemption, and the reconciliation of God. Did you get it? Did you get it?
Mm-hmm.
No, I guess not.
Huh? Amen.
You know, okay, we're getting ready to pray. Just a minute. Now, listen. I was going down the street. There's a church of God, they're my brothers in Christ, and I recognize anybody that believes in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, the reconciliation, they are my brothers. Now, they don't have to belong to the same church group I belong to be my brother in Christ, according to the scripture. Now, so I'm going down the street, and the people come out of the church of God, the church of God down the street, wonderful people, and I visited them a couple of times. And so he won't tell me, well, you have to, it's the church of God, the big sign of the church of God. I said, And so they want to tell me, well, you know, we're the only church, we're the church of God. I said, okay. I said, tell me one thing. I know you see you got that sign up there, said Church of God. I want to ask you just one question. Who died on the cross for me?
Amen.
Well, I said, oh, no. I know you say if I can't say you unless I go to Church of God. I understand that. I got your point. I just want to know these two things. One thing, who died on the cross for me, redeemed me by his blood, and who rose again for my eternal resurrection? That's what all I want to know. Well, yeah, that's right. I said, then the Church of God didn't die for me, did it?
That's right. Amen.
I just want to know, you know. If you say you're the apostolic and you're the only one, I want to know, did apostolic die for me and redeem me and justify me and deliver me, brother? That's all I want to know.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
See, you can know the Christ, but you can also be foolish and unwise, okay? All right. Now,
mm-hmm.
We're going to end now. We got 10 minutes left?
Right. 8 minutes now.
All right, sister. You want us to come in agreement about this plague called cancer that's plaguing the world and people.
Amen.
Now, what we're seeing is plagues. The Bible referred to these things as pestilence and plagues. And you notice that Jesus came to redeem us from the curse of the law and the curse of Adam. Now, and he demonstrated this. In the book of Luke, he went everywhere. What did he do? It's three things that Jesus did in his ministry. Four that stands out. You read Luke and 4 and Matthew 8. That's the thing. You want to know what Elijah posited that people are not talking about? What he really came to restore? And I'm saying this in all in love, but do you know the part of the truth that they're not, the people are not talking about restoring all things? They, mm-hmm. You notice what they stake, people say stamp on. They don't talk about the other part that he's supposed to restore. You know why they don't talk about the other part, the restoration all things? Well, I'm going to show you because it's Luke chapter 4 and Matthew 8 and Matthew 4. It tells you what the everlasting gospel consists of. Do you know when it says restore the everlasting gospel?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
All right.
Right.
Look into that now. What you mean, the everlasting gospel? Okay, restore mm-hmm. what? It's not just about priesthood. Okay. What's the most important part? See, this is the part that we often don't, people don't understand when he said Elijah come to restore all things.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I won't argue with people about this group got this, are we the only one and we're the only one stuff. I don't get into that no more. Because my eyes are understanding what is the more important things, the major things, not the minor stuff, the major.
Yeah.
I said the major. The everlasting gospel has to be restored. All of it. Not one part of it. Said not one part.
Not one part.
All of it.
Got about
5
minutes, bro. Yeah. Now, let's come in agreement, beloved, about this atonement, this redemption, what in redemption include, because that's a part of redemption that some people preach and teach. They teach a part of it, but then there's another part that people do not get into. So I want to get into the whole part of redemption, the complete part, and the complete part of what when Elijah come to restore all things that has not yet been manifested to the Church of Christ alive. Do you know why it's not been manifested? Do you know? Do we know? Because there's not a people to qualify to manifest it. Do we get that?
Amen.
Don't get mad at me. Elijah proved God to be real. Elijah had to prove God to be real. He had to prove that, right?
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
What are we talking about? Either you prove it or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hey, my name is
mm-hmm.
Brother Lee.
Huh?
Amen.
Okay. Let's attack this plague called cancer. So we got 3 or 4 minutes, sister. I'm sorry. I didn't give you all that time. But we're going to take this 3 or 4 minutes, and we're going to talk to people who are listening around the world in every nation under the sun who's going through much oppression, tyranny, and upsetness because we forget about all these people around the world and brothers and sisters and people who are not sisters that are maybe want an answer and solution and going through all kind of pressing things. So, sister, would you just you want to take these 2 minutes and attack the plague wherever you led to attack it?
Amen.
Go ahead, sister. We don't have a minute.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just come before you tonight, Lord God, in our precious and holy name. Father God, you said, where two or three gather together in your name, you are in them. And Father God,
yes.
We just come tonight, Lord God. We come standing
yes.
on your word. Standing on your redemption
yes.
plan, Lord God, because
yes.
in your word you said that by your stripes that we are healed in the mighty name
yep.
of Jesus. And Father God, in the name of
no,
Jesus,
yes.
we just lift up all the ones that are suffering with this plague of cancer, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We ask you in
yes.
our precious holy to let your blood cover them in the name of Jesus. And we rebuke
yes.
the plague in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
we
rebuke.
Curse you from the root right
mm-hmm.
now.
Yeah.
Jesus' name,
Jesus.
Rise up and be no more.
Yes.
Precious
yes.
name. And Lord God,
yes.
we are
yes, Lord.
In blood. Lord God, to these
yes.
errors, to these sickness, to
yes.
these diseases, the infirmities,
yes.
in that blood, Lord God.
Yes.
And Father God, yes, thank you, Lord God. For
thank you.
Prayer,
yes,
Lord.
Yes,
yes,
Jesus.
Name of Jesus.
Jesus.
And
yes.
In
yes,
Jesus.
Jesus.
Yes.
Thank
yes.
you,
Jesus. We
thank
curse you. Every
curse
plague,
you.
Every epidemic
yes.
curse, every sin curse of this plague
yes.
called cancer, cancer
yes.
in every form, this spirit
yes.
of cancer is cursed and bound and nailed to
yes.
the tree. And taken
yes.
out of the way on the cross of Calvary, the atonement was made, the redemption
yes.
made, the victory was
yes.
won. We come again
yes.
as we seated in heavenly places in
yes.
Christ Jesus, high above
yes.
the curse
yes.
of cancer, disease, the picture that afflict
yes.
the people. We command cancer
yes.
to die. We command that curse that was nailed to the tree and taken away. We declare it, the cancer demon, the cancer spirit, the death of cancer, be canceled, be broken and destroyed. We command the angel of death be cursed and broken and driven out live, those that hear, those that receive it, in the name of Jesus, because the blood has been spilled, the redemption has made, the price has been made. We declare he came to loose the captive, open the prison door, to set and limit him that are free. We declare the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ, and amen, receive life.
Yeah.
Call upon the Lord Jesus and save me a sinner, and he will
yes.
save you and heal you. In Jesus' name, amen. We love you with the love of God.
Jesus. Yes, Lord.
Amen. Thank God for the broadcast. Thank God for all you've been listening. Don't forget, tomorrow night, another broadcast. Look for the advertisement tomorrow night. Praise be to God. So once again, we thank God for you all. This is Brother Lee. This is Brother Nate. Sister Anson, Sister Teague, we love you all. God bless you. God keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.